Hallelujah. Somebody raise your hands and thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Well, we all need Jesus. Said we all need Jesus. Actually, we need him more than we know we do. It dawns on us every once in a while, but we need him more than we really know we do. Can you say amen? Our little lady in Virginia kind of get tickled. She gets happy and she starts hollering, Lord, help Jesus. Lord, help Jesus. Well, he don't need it. Lord, help me. Can you say amen? Jesus, help me. We're the ones in need. Amen. Not my brother or my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. I'm the one that's standing in the need of prayer. You can be turning to Acts chapter 27. Thank you so much for everything that you've done for us so far. You don't need to stand yet. I'm going to talk in just a minute. But thank you for everything you've done for us. The meals have been wonderful, and the hospitality has been great. Thank you for the place to stay. We appreciate that. And your giving, may the Lord richly bless you for your giving. We appreciate it from the bottom of our heart. And I'm in a quandary a little bit, and I lost my volume there, brother, some way. I'm in a quandary just a little bit. I've got more than one sermon. And we don't have time for two. Hello? I said we don't have time for two. We might have time for it, but I might preach one and make it 2 hours, so who knows? I get interested at people anymore. They want church to be a fast thing. They want preaching to be a fast thing. And yet they can go home and watch an hour and a half movie, and it doesn't bother them at all. There's a real problem with that. If you can sit down and watch a stupid ball game that lasts 3 hours and you can't listen to a preacher preach for 45 minutes, you got bad trouble in your spirit. Can you say amen? So, in other words, don't come pop off to me about long-winded preaching. It'll get real rough for you right quick. Hello? Amen? Hallelujah. They're worshiping in heaven. They've been doing it for hours and days and months and years and eternity. Can you say amen? They've been crying. I got to praying today, and I said, Lord, I have heard prayer in church that I believe fit under the criteria of vain repetition. I really have. I've heard preaching. I mean, preaching too, probably. But I've heard praying that probably fell under that category. And today I was praying, and I said, Lord, and you say, well, how can that be? And I don't want to explain it all to you right now, but it was just, they were saying it, but it wasn't coming out of here. It was just kind of generating out of their head. Right. Just something they just said. And it became vain because it wasn't out of their heart. But I told the Lord today while I was praying, I said, Lord, I don't want to pray with vain repetition. But I'll tell y'all what, I did get to walking around there saying, holy, holy, holy. And I got news for y'all, that is not vain repetition. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, glory to God, wonderful Jesus, hallelujah, holy brother. That's not vain repetition right there. That's glorifying God. Can you say amen? So we're so glad for everyone that's here tonight. May the Lord richly bless you for being in the house. All of our preacher brethren that are here tonight. And I don't want to start calling names because then I'd forget somebody or overlook somebody. All the home folks that are here, may the Lord richly bless you for being in the house. And just every one of you preacher brethren and all of our other visitors and all the home folks. We can't have church without the home folks. Can you say amen? Acts chapter 27. Acts 27 and verse number 20.
Bless the Lord.
I can't preach that. Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4. I guess you just found out I don't have canned sermons, don't you? I don't have sermons that I preach every night somewhere. Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4 and verse number 12. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Stretch your hands this way, Lord, in Jesus' name right now. I'm asking you, God, would you touch me? Lord, I'm asking you to move on me in Jesus' wonderful name. Touch me, God, right now. Touch my mind, touch my lips. Let the Spirit of the living God move in my mouth right now. Hallelujah, God. Touch us. Move on every one of us by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let the glory of God fill this house. Move around these altars in Jesus' wonderful and holy name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. I want to preach tonight for a little while, if the Lord would help me, on final preparation. Final preparation. Prepare to meet thy God. We are living in a world, and America is a glaring example of this. And one of the reasons we're a glaring example of this is because of the fact that we have been a nation that was based on God. It doesn't really matter what some liberalistic philosophers or professors or historians might want to say, and they might want to downplay that. America is a nation that is built on godly principles. Can you say amen? And we are a nation, and part of the reason we're even here is because there was religious persecution in other places and oppression. And in order to get out from underneath that oppression, they said, we're going to go somewhere where nobody's going to tell us how to do it, how to worship. Nobody's going to restrict us. Nobody's going to put rules and regulations on us. And we're going to go serve God. And so that's a lot of the reason we're here tonight. I said, that's a lot of the reason we're here tonight. But I must tell you that where we are in vast trouble is we have lost our fear of God. Amen? America has lost her fear. Look now, you say, well, hey, why are you talking about America? Because I'm not in Russia right now. Hello, if I was there, I'd tell them they needed a revival. Hello, I'm not in France. Do you know that France has never had a revival? France, one of the very few countries in the world that has never had a spiritual awakening, ever. They've produced some of the greatest anti-God people that there ever has been. Amen? Well, you don't have to say amen. You may not know that. I'm telling you. But I'm going to tell you this. God gave us a wonderful opportunity to serve Him however we needed to right here in America. We do not take probably advantage of it as we should, and possibly if time goes on and the Lord does tarry, we will look back and say, I wished I would have taken greater advantage of the time that I had to serve God in the manner that I wanted to out in the open. But America has lost her fear of God. And I've got to tell you this. You can turn something down just a little, brother. I don't say that very often, but you can turn something down just a little because it's ringing. You may have too much monitor and too little house. But there has been a loss of the fear of God, and I've got to tell you this. It has started in the pulpit. That's where the trouble has been at. It has started in the pulpit. I'm not here tonight to throw off on you. I'm not here tonight to point fingers at you as a church and say, you've been the problem, and bless God, if y'all knuckle-headed sheep would straighten up, it'd all be right. That's not the trouble. I didn't just call y'all that. If you thought that, you wasn't paying close enough attention. But
But the trouble has been, it started right up here behind this pulpit. There was a loss of the fear of God. Hallelujah. And in losing that fear of God, all of a sudden you started getting all kinds of false doctrine out of the pulpit. You started getting false doctrine that people begin to preach prosperity and they begin to preach peace. And hey, listen, you give, God will bless you. We know that. Hello? Y'all think I'm still wondering about which sermon I'm supposed to preach. Catch up with me here. This is what I'm preaching. Hallelujah. And you know, we've come to this place where men get up and listen. I've heard people, and I've heard little naive people, and God love them, make a statement and say, "Oh, I have a TV so to watch preaching." Well, go home, take your shotgun, and blow it up. Because if that's why you got one, is to watch the religious channel, I'm going to tell you what, that bunch will lead you straight to hell. Ooh, that's stout right there, isn't it? Hey, listen to me. When people get on there, hey, listen, I've heard this my own self with my own ears. And how many ever seen that purple-headed lady? You know, I think she may be dead now. I don't know if she's alive or not. But at one of them, she's not a sister, that Crouch lady, you know, and had that big old purple hairdo and looked like a clown all the time. And she made this statement. She said, if Paul would have been the real man of God, he should have been, he'd have never went through all them trials. She said that. Well, I got a little news for her. They say, well, the roads, it's all going to be better. And if you get saved, you're going to get a new car and a new Cadillac and a new suit and a new bank account and a new house and a new dog. And I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. But I thought I read a scripture that said, in this world, you'll suffer persecution. Hello? But thank God he didn't stop there. Can you say amen? He said, be of good cheer. I overcame the world. Hallelujah. He didn't leave me helpless there. But I've got news for you. The pulpit as a whole in America has lost her fear of God and preaches a watered down something that will make people feel better, that'll make them feel good about themselves, that'll give you self-help. Can you say amen? And absolutely the biggest congregation in America right now is in Houston, Texas, and a guy that gets up every Sunday morning and tells them how you're going to have your best life. No! I got news for you. If you're having your best life now, that means you're going to hell. Are you hearing me? If your best life's right now, you're going to hell. Somebody say amen. But this ain't the best life. This ain't the best place. Matter of fact, I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm just passing through. I'm headed somewhere. I got heaven in my view. It's getting closer all the time. And I am making preparation to go there. Amen. Hey, brother. I don't need somebody to make me feel better about myself. Myself is my trouble. Oh, I see people, boy, they can come up with the longest list of reasons. They can't serve God right and can't stay saved, can't stay prayed through, can't stay out of sin, can't stay out of the pit, can't keep their fingers out of the devil's cookie jar. They're giving you all kinds of reasons why they can't. Come on now. I'll tell you my trouble. I look at him in the mirror. You're not my trouble. Somebody say amen. I said, you're not my trouble. I'm my own trouble. It's my own flesh I have trouble with. That's why Paul said, I try to die every day. I said, I'm dying every day. Why? I am preparing to meet God. You know what bothers me about this is, you know, I preach to church people. And 90% of the time, that's sad. I told Brother Oliver today, I love to preach to the lost. But I go entire revivals and there's never a lost person shows up. They never come. And you can't preach to them if they're not there. So 90% of my preaching's to the church. Hello? And I am convinced
that 90% of that 90% never think about meeting God face to face. You see, we've lost our fear of God. The pulpit lost it. I could go on there. We've got all kinds of falsehood going on. Hello? We can't point at the world because the world didn't have any fear of God in the first place. If they had, they'd have been in the church. They would have gotten saved. Hello? The tragedy is because of this, the church has lost her fear. And so, unfortunately, she has become like the world. Now, I'm not saying that the whole church is worldly. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is in mentality, we're no more worried about it than they are. And what happens is it makes it easy for us to come in here and go through the motions when we're not really prepared to meet God. Oh, help me preach tonight, Lord. Prepare to meet thy God. Now, there's men that would take exception with that tonight. I hope there's none of them here, and they would say, He's not my God. Oh, yes, He is. The atheist that claims he has no affiliation with a higher source of any kind, the Bible said is going to get down and confess that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I got news for y'all. We're awed right now. Come on now. I told people for a long time, I know I'm odd. I know I'm strange. You know what's nice about that? When you come to the conclusion, it don't bother me. I done got there before you. I know I'm odd. I know I'm strange. Are you hearing me? I got news for you, though. It's kind of amazing to me anymore what I see out of the world. Yeah, I know some of you have heard me say stuff like this, but it's kind of funny to me anymore. We go in a restaurant and people go, you know why? We come in and my wife's got long hair and my daughter's got a dress on and my boys don't have hair hanging all this high over their face like this, and it's not all kinds of odd colors and come on now, and we look normal. Hello? And it's been so long since they saw a normal person. And then they sit there, and boy, I tell you what, I've been in a lot of restaurants. I know I was the center of the conversation piece. Boy, it'd have been nice if it was because I was good looking, but I knew that wasn't the trouble. I knew it's because I looked strange to that crowd. Well, I've got to admit it, Brother Stanton, I'm sorry, but I've sat down and they've been the centerpiece of my conversation before. I said, man, look at that nut over there. Hello? Man, good gracious, check him out one time. Woo! How many's ever heard me tell about being in Pizza Hut? Huh? Oh, yeah. I was in a Pizza Hut one night, and we was checking out, and the checkout counter's here, and there's a fella up there, and there's a fella here, and then there's me. I'm number three in line. The fella up front, he's got a big old ring in his nose. I mean, it's a giant one hanging down over his lip. The guy behind him, he looked at him and said, hey, dude. He was just being inquisitive. He said, hey, dude, does that hurt? That guy couldn't even talk plain. He turned around and he said, no, man. Is that hanging down? You know, he can't. I said, no, man, it don't hurt at all, man. That's all I could take, Brother Barry. I couldn't handle no more. I said, hey, bud, that's what we do at the farm to keep the pigs from rooting under the fence right there. That's where that came from. Listen, y'all, I'm not strange. Hallelujah. I said, I'm not strange, but I am a stranger and a pilgrim. Can you say amen? They say, why are you living like that? I'm preparing to meet my God. Why are you looking like that? I'm preparing to meet my God. Why do you worship God like that? I'm preparing to meet my God. I'm going to have to look at Him face to face after a while. There's not going to be anybody standing around. Everything I've done here, it's going to be a brother on the plate, and I want to know I was ready to meet my God. Preacher, are you making fun of those people? No.
I feel sorry for them. I said, I feel sorry for them. Many of them have been told by a preacher that because they got saved when they was little that they'll be okay and they'll get in. But I'm going to tell you, if that was the way it was, their scripture would have no need in the Bible. There would be no reason to get prepared to meet your God. Oh, I need to preach here just a little while tonight. You know, it bothers me that we've come to a place and look, I don't know a lot about Hollywood and all that, so I can get mixed up. I'm trying to think of the name of one of their award deals. Somebody help me! Don't act like you don't know. When you get best actor and all that junk, I can't remember right now. I'm having a brain dead moment. And the what? Yeah. Did you say Grammy? I thought he said Grammy. I thought, well, that's music. I know that at least. Huh? Oscars? Huh? Okay, that's good enough. I don't know where they got that name, but Oscar, there you go. You know what? You know all they have to do to win an Oscar? You know, not all that. Hey, just come to church. Hollywood wouldn't even have a chance. The greatest actors I've ever seen are in the house of God. Hello? They're right here. Hollywood would be out. Just come to church with me. Just stand beside me in the pulpit when you get to preaching and you really hit somebody. You never seen such an act in all your ever-loving life. Are y'all hearing me? Brother, there used to be a time you preached on preparing to meet God. People would weep and cry and fall on the floor and scream. Are y'all hearing me? Jonathan Edwards preached on that way. He preached on sinners in the hand of an angry God. He never raised his voice. I do have the ability to preach like that. I have done it. Never lifted my voice one time. But you know what? While he was talking in a monotone, reading his sermon, men began to fall into the floor and scream and beg for the mercies of God. You know why? The fear of the Lord came on them and they knew, I've got to prepare to meet God. I've got to prepare to meet God. George Whitfield would preach, and he had a voice that would come on out there, and you could hear him way at the back, Benjamin Franklin said, come now. But he would preach, and men and women would fall out and sometimes even faint because the fear of going to hell and the fear of meeting God got so strong upon them that it bothered them. Oh, but we preach to a church world today. They sit there and nod their head at you. They know they don't have a consistent prayer life. But they know they don't live as close to God as they should. But I come on here now, and yet they come to the house of God, and they act like it's just all peachy. I come to tell you tonight, church, it is time for a final preparation. There is not many days ahead of us, and if we're going to prepare to meet God, we're going to have to do it now. If we're going to prepare to meet God, we're going to have to do it today. Men come to the house of God today living on a forgotten experience. No daily walk with God. There's people here tonight that has never won anybody to the Lord personally. You have never. So you have never fulfilled the will of God in your life. Going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Huh? That was a command to every one of us. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Hello? God called every one of us. But y'all, somewhere this thing changed into a lifestyle. It became no longer an experience. It became a lifestyle. It's who I am. It's who I identify with. It's the circle of friends that I have. It's me doing what I need to do to appease my conscience. Brother, Dominic Morano told me this years back. He said, Brother Anthony, if people dress pretty well up to the standards of the church, are pretty well faithful to the house of God, and pretty well pay their tithe, we'll pat them on the back whether they're saved or not. Hello? I wonder, though, what your reaction would be if I could guarantee you that at midnight you were going to meet God face to face. I need to preach tonight. If I could guarantee you beyond a shadow of a doubt, you are going to meet God at midnight. I'm going to tell you what. We wouldn't have a five-minute prayer meeting around the altars. It wouldn't even last 10 minutes, Brother Stanton. We would be crawling to the altars on our hands and knees saying, Oh God, oh God. We would be working on ourselves. I would not be making, oh help me, Holy Ghost. I would not be making excuses about why I am where I am. I'm going to tell you what, the selfish living of the church world, hallelujah, the look on men's faces when God moves, and the stoicism that we show, and the tears never spill over because they never come up in our heart. My God, have mercy. And we think just because we did a little of this and a little dab of that, and because we come to church on Sunday, and because we gave a little in the offering, and because we did this and that over there, that we're going to get a clean slate. Brother, it's going to take more than that. Am I sold out? I said, am I sold out? Does my life revolve around Him? Has my will got lost in His? Is the pains of God more important to me than anything else in the world? I am preparing to meet my God. I'm preparing to meet God. Brother B.H. Clendenin was in Africa, he said, we went to a group of people that was absolutely the poorest, most despicable people I had ever seen in my life. He said, most of them did not have clothing, and those that did have, it was not adequate. He said, they were starving to death, their stomachs distended with starvation, cheeks sunk in, flies crawling in and out their nose and mouth half the time. Teeth and skull looked like it just had skin wrapped over it. And he said, we're here to preach the gospel. He said, Brother Rodney, he said, I was having a horrible time trying to preach the good news of the gospel to these people who their whole entire day was spent just trying to find what they had, something to eat to make them live. He said, one day, overwhelmed by the job, that task in hand, he said, I stumbled out into the bush and I fell down on my knees and I said, God, I have never seen such a pitiful group of humans in my life. Look at them. How do I tell them the good news of Jesus and that you brought peace and love to the world when you look at them, God? They're naked. They're starving to death. They're diseased. It's pitiful. I've never said, God, how do I do this? Brother Clendenin said, kneeling in the bush of Africa, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, Bert, this is what the Church of America looks like to me. This is what the church in America looks like. Revelation said, because thou hast said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And God said, you're fixing to meet me. And here's what I know. He said, I know that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I got news for you. That neo-Pentecostal pastor on TV is not going to say that to you because it does not make you feel good about yourself. I'm going to tell you, myself is never going to be any good. Somebody say amen. That's why the writer said, by I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Somebody say amen. I have got to have a resurrection of Jesus Christ inside of my life. I said I've got to have a resurrection of Christ inside of me, so that when I see him, it will not be me in the forefront. It will not be what I've done. It will not be my good works. It will be what he done. Amen. I said it will be what he done. It will be who he is. I've got to have Christ shining out of me.
There must be an awakening, or most of the so-called church is going to go to hell. Listen, when I can be motivated through my day and never feel the need for a personal relation between me and God, I am not prepared to meet my God. These sermons don't go over anymore. Probably the reason I wasn't really interested in trying to preach it. Hello? They just don't go over anymore because nobody really cries about it. Because they say, oh, that's a long ways off. I'll do something about that somewhere down the road. Only to find out in the last few waking moments of their life, they're wanting to back up and say, oh, if I could go back to that service. If I could go back to that revival. If I could feel God get on me one more time and draw me to the altar and draw me up close to God. Can you say amen? I want to tell you something. If you don't on a normal basis hear the voice of God speaking to your heart, you're probably not prepared to meet God. Now, I'm not so much talking about the audible voice to God that blows you over, but I'm talking about the voice of God in your spirit that says, I need you to do this. I need you not to do this. I need you to go here. I need you to go. Are you hearing me? I want to tell you, Brother Stanton hit it right a while ago. I'm not here to be mean tonight. I'm here to try to help us prepare to meet God. I'm going to tell you something. We're so busy running our mouth most of the time, we can't hear the voice of God. Somebody say amen. Sometimes we're even guilty of it when we pray. We get down and motor mouth to a prayer and we just doing it because we need to be there and we never really stop and say, God, what do you need to change? How long has it really been since you really raised your hands and said, is there anything in me that needs to be changed? Is there anything in me that needs to be fixed? Hey, buddy, I want to do it because I want to meet God after a while. And when I stand there, I don't want Jesus to be the prosecuting attorney. I want him to be my defense. Somebody say amen. I said I don't want him to be the prosecuting attorney and say he went to the house of God, but I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. You're not prepared. I'm going to tell you it's going to be a horrible thing to meet God unprepared, especially when you had so much exposure to the truth and the gospel. And the old preacher said, I called an all-night prayer meeting at my church. And he said on Sunday morning there was 500 people there. And he said, I preached on prayer and they shouted and ran up and down the aisles. And they had a great time. And then he said, I said, now tomorrow night, Monday night, 8 o'clock, whatever, we're going to start prayer meeting and we'll have an all-night prayer meeting. I want you to be here. He said, Sunday night, I announced it before I preached and preached on prayer again. And he said, 500 people in the house. And they shouted and run and kicked and bucked and fell out on the floor. And he said, I'm telling you, they had the greatest time you ever seen in your life. And when it was over with, he said, I told them, all-night prayer meeting, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, be here. He said, I went to the church at 6 o'clock and knelt down on a platform. I wanted to pray for a couple of hours before my church come. He said, at 8 o'clock, I turned around, walked to the platform, and looked to my congregation where there had been 500 last night and yesterday morning. There was 50 people there. He said, I was so heartbroken that I didn't make very many opening remarks. I just said, let's pray. And he said, I turned around, Brother Oliver, and he said, I fell down at my chair. And I started weeping, and I said, God, yesterday in both services, we had 500 people here, and they shouted, and they ran, and they rejoiced in God while I preached on prayer. And tonight, when it's time to pray, there's only 50 people here. And that old preacher said, the Spirit of God immediately spoke to me and said, this is the percentage of the church that's going to heaven. This is the percentage of the church that is going to heaven. If that's the case in this service tonight, there's not very many of us going to make it. I don't know how y'all feel. I plan to be in the 10%. Some of y'all didn't hear that. I said, I plan on being in the 10%. Preacher, are you saying that's all the people that's going? No. I said, if that held true for this service, there wouldn't be very many of us going. You know why? We are burdened down and weighted down and become so overwhelmed with baggage in our life that we are not prepared to meet God. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you're in bad trouble. Because listen, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin where? Right where I've been preaching, at the house of God. Judgment must begin at the house of God. Help me, Holy Ghost, I'm fighting the devil. And if at first it begin in us, what shall be the end? Shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? If you're here tonight and you're not right with God, I'd run to the altar as fast as my legs would carry me. If you're here tonight and you have not submitted your will to God, I'd run to the altar as fast as my legs could carry me. Why, preacher? Because you're going to have to stand before God in a little bit. And my excuses are not going to work. And pointing out the hypocrites is not going to work. And selfishness is not going to work. And unwillingness to submit to God is not going to work. I got news for y'all. Hey, brother, listen to me. If you're here and you're not saved, you'd better prepare to meet God.
We have preached things through the years that were they were not doctrinal errors. They were doctrinal oversight. One of them is people say you're going to die. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. You're going to die and go to heaven and there's going to be no more tears, and that's not so. You're going to die and you're going to go to heaven from here, and when you get there it's just going to be wonderful peace and life and there's going to be no more tears. Well, they needed to read their Bible again. Because in Revelation chapter 20, there is a great white throne judgment. Help me, Holy Ghost. The Lord, the Son. Listen, how many remember the description in the early parts of Revelation of John of the Son of Man standing between the candlesticks? Anybody remember him? Hello? Jesus. He had feet like brass and eyes like unto fire.
Are y'all hearing me? And he had a voice like unto many waters. I never understood that, Brother Stanton, until a few years back when I took my first ferry ride underneath Niagara Falls. And when I got underneath Niagara Falls, and the preacher that I was with and our families and all, and we had them raincoats on to keep from just getting totally drenched, and yet we was getting that way anyway, and we got up under there, Brother Rodney, and I looked at him, and I said, and he looked back at me, and buddy, I haven't done it since I've been here, but if I get ready, I can flat raise my voice, hallelujah. And I raised it to where I could, and he just looked at me, and then I watched him, and he screamed back at me. I never heard a word he said. I said, I never heard a syllable. I never heard a sound, and immediately the Spirit of God kind of penetrated my mind, and I said, this is what it means. His voice is like the voice of many waters. It doesn't matter on that day whether you raise your voice to protest or not. That voice will overwhelm everything. Are you hearing me? I said it will overwhelm everything. He'll know every time you kneel down. He'll know every time. Come on here now. He'll know whether I was a hypocrite. Somebody hear this preacher. He'll know who I really was inside. And when they get to reading out of the book of the works that men have done, brother, it's going to be a silent crying time in heaven.
And when people that me and you have went to church with, we watch him say, I never knew you. Depart from me. And the demons of hell drag them kicking and screaming into the abyss. There is going to be tears on the floor of heaven. I said, there's going to be tears all over the floor of heaven because we're going to be weeping. I'm going to tell you something. I am no confidence in this flesh. Are y'all hearing me? I said, I have no confidence in this flesh. I had you say, oh, preacher, you preached over here. You did this. You done that. That don't amount to a hill of beans, what I've done. Are y'all hearing me? But the only thing that really matters, am I washed in the blood? Am I totally sold out to God? Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to tell you, the Bible said the secrets of the heart will be shouted from the housetop. Hey, brother, I got news for you. You say, oh, preacher, you're making it impossible. It is not impossible. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There is a key. You got to be in Christ Jesus. In chapter 4 of verse 21 of Revelations, then it says, and the Lord himself shall wipe all tears . The judgment's over. The books are closed. Hello? The tears have flowed from all of those that we knew that are gone into hell. But I'm going to tell you, now this is my personal belief, and you don't have to agree, but it's what I believe. I believe when he wipes our eyes, it will also be our memory. Because we never could. We never could enjoy heaven if all we could think about was how many people we knew was in hell. I never could walk one morning into my mansion and sit down and pick up an apple from off of the tree of life like something I've never seen and sit down and look over the splendors of heaven and bite into that and enjoy that when I thought about all the people that I went to church with that were not prepared to meet God. I couldn't
could never enjoy it. But God said, I'm going to wipe the tears out. That's going to be the end of crying. Amen, amen. It's going to be over. I don't know about you, but I know I have a meeting in between me and real heaven. Are y'all hearing me? I have a meeting in between me and heaven. It is with God.
I keep feeling the Holy Ghost draw me back to here. You will not, pointing out hypocrites is one of the most naive things that a person can do. Because that day when the hypocrite stands up there, when his footprints leave out for hell, when you stand there and you have used him for excuse, the same footprints he leaves to hell will be the same footprints you will follow in a few moments into eternal damnation. But we have church and we have revival and preacher preaches like this and maybe he'll do better tomorrow night and preach on something that makes me feel good. And and we fail to really hear the Holy Ghost because our spiritual ears have got so dull of hearing. And the call is, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. I'm closing. Dr. Gibbs, David Gibbs, Sr. He said, I went to preach at a very large church, and he said, I preached there annually. He said, this year I walked in and he said there was new people sitting all over the place. There'd been a very noticeable increase. And he said, I complimented the pastor and I said, brother, you're doing such a wonderful work. You're doing great here, man. Look at, I mean, I'd like to talk to you after church and I'd like to find out what you're doing. I'd like to tap into that, to whatever you got going on here. All these new faces, these new people sitting in the house. What's going on? He said, the pastor looked at me, and then he said, down in the front aisle in a motorized chair, sat a very twisted young man. And he said, I'd love to take credit for it, Dr. Gibbs, but he said, most all of them are here because of that boy right there in that chair. Brother Gibbs said, I looked at him and I thought, him? He's so twisted, he's so disfigured, he's so him? But he said, overcome by curiosity that day at the end of my sermon, he said, I walked off the platform and he said, I wanted to meet the young man if he got this many people saved in a year. He said, I walked down to him and I leaned over and he said, your pastor's told me what a blessing you've been to him and all these people that you've won to God, and I'm Dr. Gibbs, and I just wanted to come down here and shake your hand, and I wanted to tell you that man, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And I just appreciate what you're doing, and the Lord bless you. And Brother Gibbs said his voice was very weak, and he said, I leaned over, and he said, that young man said, Dr. Gibbs, are you sure you're ready to meet God? He said, I just got through delivering this. And he probably preaches a gospel that I sure don't agree with on their salvation doctrine. But this is what Dr. Gibbs said. He said, I ran to a side Sunday school room and fell down on my knees. Because I wanted to make sure I was really ready to meet God. while every head is bowed in the house. There's people in this service right now that this is your opportunity to prepare and meet God. Today, right now, this night. There came a night when the rich man that God said, this night, tonight, not tomorrow, not next week, not next revival, not someday down the road, not next month, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. You're going to meet God now. My God. My God. I very seldom hear the Holy Ghost make such final warnings, but that's pretty final. If you're here right now and you're not saved, would you get out of your pew and hurry to this altar and prepare to meet God? Are you here and you're not right? Are you here and you know deep down, you know what's been going on in your life? You're really not right? Would you get up out of your pew and hurry down this aisle and say, oh my God, I can't afford for that to be me. If my last breath is not far ahead of me, I got to get right with God right now. Anybody? I'm more worried about, I've got more fear of what God's going to do to me than I do what this church might think about me. If I walk down that aisle, I'm beyond that. I got to get right with God, and I got to get right with God now. Anybody? I'm giving the sinner an opportunity right here. If you're in this house and you're a sinner, you're out of your mind if you're not running to this altar. I said you're literally out of your mind if you're not running to this altar. Are you hearing me? All right. There was no takers there. Is there any saint here that would say, you know what? I need to pick some things up. I need to get some things fixed up. I've not been as close as I need to be. There's been times in years past I've been closer to God. I'm ready to move up right now. Anybody that'll get out of your pew, come on now. Are you really worried about what they think? Are you really worried about what's going through their mind? Are you really going to look around and say, I wonder what they're going to do? I'll tell you what I'm worried about. I'm worried about meeting a God who is going to look on me naked before the world and know who I am and what I am, what I've been inside. Hey, brother, what I've been in the darkness of the night, what I've been behind the closed door, he's going to know all about it. I come to tell you tonight, it is time to prepare. I said, it is time to prepare to meet your God. I'm not looking at my brother. I'm not looking at my sister. I'm begging God to have mercy on me. I've got to meet him for myself. I'm not coming down there to pray a little bit, preacher, till I feel better. I'm coming down there to say, oh God, I need a change in my life. I need a change in my mind. I need a change in my heart.
In the name of Jesus. 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 Search me.
Oh God. Oh Jesus. And know.
you prepared to meet God?
Today.
Are you prepared to meet God?
Oh, say,
try me, O
Savior. Know my faults, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me.
Cleanse me
from every sin and set me.
I'm not talking about a meeting with a boss.
Lord,
I'm not talking about a meeting with the city council.
My life,
I'm talking about prepare to meet thy God.
And make it whole.
Are you really satisfied with where you're at?
Fill my poor.
Are you really satisfied with where you're at with God?
With thy great love, divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride.
Oh, come on, church. We spend more time picking out our clothes and fixing our hair than we do praying around the altar a lot of times, when that is the place I prepare to meet God.
Lord, in me,
are you really ready?
Revival comes from thee.
I said,
send
a revival. Start the work.
Won't you start the work?
Start the work
in me. Thy word,
God.
Declares.
Thy word declares.
Thou wilt supply our need. For blessing
now, O Lord,
I humbly
tell him, O Kosha, to get a hit on Ananaha Salabahaya.
When I kneel to pray, it's so easy to say, change me, Lord, to be more like you.
my God.
To break and mold my heart again.
My God.
To say, change me becomes harder to do.
So I say, change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Don't let me stay the same.
For I want to be more like you.
More like you. Oh.
Take my life.
Won't you? Make it all that you want it to be. Oh,
Lord, please change me. Change me, dear Lord. Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord.
I'm preparing to meet God.
I want to
it doesn't matter what the preacher thinks about me or
like
my
you.
Church brothers and sisters think about me. What's going to matter is what God knows about me.
Take my life.
Take my life. Make my life.
All that you want it to be. Lord, please change me.
Why don't you
change me, dear Lord?
God.
Lord, I have to say, I'm not satisfied this way. I want to be closer to you. If somewhere you see that there's a change that needs to be, then Lord, change me. I want to be more like you.
That's why I'm saying, change me, Lord. Oh, change me, Lord.
Don't let me stay the same. For I want to be more like you. Take my life. Won't you make my life all that you want it to be? Lord, please change me. Change me, dear Lord. Oh, won't you change me, Lord? Change me, Lord. Don't let me stay the same.
Talk to him, Lord.
Talk to him. For I want
touch
to
Kate,
be
Jesus.
More like you.
To
make my
I don't
life
know what they're going to do, but I know what I'm
going
to do.
That you
I'm
going to
lay aside every weight and the sin that just so easily beset me.
Lord, please change me. Change me, dear Lord. Lord, I have to say, I'm not satisfied this way. I want to be closer to you. Lord, change me. I wanna be more like you. Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Don't let me stay the same. For I want to be more like you.
You wanted to be. Oh, Jesus.
Lord, please change me.
You know what I say?
Change me,
dear Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For above all else, I must be saved. For above all else, I must be saved. For whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for real.